Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
My talkers, it is Thursday, one more day away from the weekend. Until then, we're hanging out with Lori and Julia coming up. We've got some Elton John news. We've got some Real Housewives of Beverly Hills stuff to talk about. Just filled with that, right? And now it's time for the one and only, and both, Lori and Julia.
Here we are, everybody.
There's two of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Happy Thursday, everybody. My gosh, there was some winds going through Woodbury today. All of a sudden, I hear something and I'm like, oh, my new neighbor is very loud.
And it was the wind?
It was the wind. It knocked over my plant that I put like all these old tiles in around the pot. I put it in a bigger pot to hold it down because the wind sometimes just gets wicked. And I'm thinking, my new neighbor's remodeling.
And it was the
wind. And then I go
wind.
To leave for work and I just see all my crap thrown over from the wind. And I'm like, gee. How off was I?
Well, by the way, last week I got a note from my friend Babs.
Yeah.
And she, too, like you, did not realize that you didn't need to water a mum every day because she killed her baskets of mum that she had bought up at Gordy's or something.
Right. Do you have to deadhead them, like, all the time? Because their life cycle is so short, I feel like. The blossoms. I have a miniature one that's in the huge pot.
Yeah. No, it'll just die. You don't really have to really deadhead mums. No, they will.
They just
need
thing.
A little water and
boy, they look pretty.
A nice perch.
Well, it tipped over too. That tipped over too.
Yeah.
Gosh, it was
so like it's good. Okay to even buy the mums that are just all green.
Yeah.
You'll have to ask Larry Farr. I don't know if he's coming on.
I almost called. I think we need to get him on soon.
But you can buy the ones where you can't even see the color and they'll just unfold. You know, they'll just
open. And really only water
once a week.
Oh my gosh. All right, so I'm glad I'm not alone. And didn't know about the watering of the mums.
No, she's like, I wonder why I'm so bad with mums. I mean, they're really like about the simplest thing you can ever.
If you know that trick, don't water them.
Well, yeah. Just the very fact that it's a fall basket.
Yeah.
Means you can water in the fall, like really once a week, something in a pot or a basket. It's not the daily that you need in the summer. Unless you went through like a real sustained, you know, heat wave.
Right? Oh, gosh.
Grant, do you have any kind of a green thumb? Do you get involved in any flowery?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I have the green thumb from the golf course. Not as much flowery, but more like
the grass.
I'm all about on any dog pee patches. I'm on them right away.
You know,
my lawn is my garden, essentially.
It is.
So,
all right.
Lily's got some great flowers, but my lawn is my garden.
Your lawn is your garden.
Yep.
Okay, so you know how, did you guys ever egg houses or cars or anything growing up or teepee?
TV. To my shame, one time in 10th grade with my friend Kim Damberg, we were losers, didn't really know anybody because we both had moved to Woodland and everyone at Duluth East either went to Ordean or Woodland and we were neither Woodland or Ordean girls.
Okay, so you were the outsiders.
Well, until we found our group of friends, which took us a few months, and we did spend 10th grade with soap. Eggs, toilet paper. We were absolutely terrible. And then the one time our house got egged in soap, like when one of the kids were in high school, I realized that was really a bad thing to do.
It's hard.
And we felt bad even doing it.
Right.
We're like, why are we doing this? And we were just like, we were also making prank phone calls.
Well, that was fun.
Well, I know, but I felt bad because one time we pranked a guy and we pretended to be a girl who was asking him out to the Sadie Hopkins dance.
That's really mean. Oh, you did. We do like your refrigerators.
No. Thankfully, we found a group of friends and we could stop acting like juvenile delinquents.
I'm glad.
In 10th grade.
Grant, did you do any of that stuff?
Yeah, I teepeed a couple times. Never egged. I remember I got teepeed by my own buddies once as a joke. And the worst part about it was, as well, the Vikings were playing. My dad made me pick it up as punishment because he knew my friends did it. And he knew I was doing it. So my punishment to learn not to do it to other people was I had to go pick up
all of it.
And
if
it rained, happened if it well, rained, after, oh, that happened to us. The kids, mm-hmm. our house got TP'd with the kids. But yep. so the reason I'm bringing this up is there's a
You're giving kids ideas.
No, there's a new trend in the UK. Instead of egging or TPing, they're beaning. Literally taking a can of baked beans and opening them up and like throwing the beans at things. Aww. So you have brown, it looks like you have brown poop all over everything. So it's beaning. If you're going to hear that around, you know, beaning.
Yeah.
How dumb is that?
All of it's dumb. Yeah. All that kind of stuff
you're
is
a kid,
dumb.
You do dumb things.
Yeah, you really do.
But the eggs were a pain.
Oh, they could kill
you. Ever tried to get a dried egg even off a plate? Yeah. It's a pain in the butt.
And it's bad for paint on cars. Uh-huh. Never good. Never. That's why the egging thing, I never got partook in the egging, because that's a whole nother level of just...
Oh, we
clean up.
Yeah. And your parents, my mom would notice if the eggs were missing.
Yeah, right.
I swear there's 12. We're down to 8 today. What happened?
Julia, I'm curious if you met your new TV boyfriend last night. He's 35 years old. He's 6 foot tall and he is engaged. And he's okay. in the show that I've fallen down the hole, Casey and I, Clickbait.
Yeah, I met him. I watched 2 episodes okay, last night of Clickbait on Netflix.
It's wildly addictive, that show.
It is.
And I mean, there's some plot holes in it or whatever. There's some stuff going on, but it's just such an enjoyable ride, I guess.
It's very...
Because you can't see the twists coming and they're not dragging out the twists.
Well, I made it through 2 and then I fell asleep and I bet... When next time I go back to it to look at it, maybe
you'll
tonight.
Be finished.
Probably I've already watched the whole series, mm-hmm. so I have to go back. I find I fall asleep and I have to go back with a lot of things, but it is good.
Yeah, the main detective, Phoenix Ray. He's Australian, Julia.
He's beautiful.
He's very beautiful.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm glad that he's engaged.
We're going to see him in a movie, or maybe it already came out, Stateless. Was that a series with Kate Blanchett and Yvonne Strahovski from Handmaid Tale? I think that one came out. But anyway, he's very charismatic, and I'm quite enjoying every time he's on screen. And I think Zoe Kazan is so terrific.
She's
Pia.
She's really good.
Yeah,
she's good.
Yeah.
That show is good.
Yeah, he's in Stateless. That's a good call on the Stateless part.
Grant,
there.
You would like this.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. That one and the French one that you guys told me. Lupin. That's my Lupin. 2 this week, and I'm going to start that one and Lupin.
Lupin, you'll just...
Crush, right?
There's only 10 total episodes for 2
seasons.
It's so
yummy. These are completely different.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Mm-hmm.
All right, listen, we come back. It's our story we can't get enough of. Okay, so last night, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, episode 17, really came in hot. But we're going to start with after the show, and we'll go back to the show, because Andy Cohen had in the clubhouse Sarah Paulson, who, by her own admission, is a Real Housewives super fan.
Yes.
Watches all of them. And then Lisa Rinna,
yes.
who was just in the clubhouse like a month ago.
She's a favorite.
Well, Andy had her, who knows why she was there, but she was there. And I finally, after, the whole last season of Beverly Hills, which was all about Denise Richards and did she or didn't she have a thing with Brandi Glanville and with Lisa Rinna, really leading the charge. And because yesterday was Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement,
yes.
This is Andy wanted to ask Lisa what how she felt about the whole way that the Denise Richards thing. Here's what Lisa Rinna had to say.
Lisa, upon reflecting, is there anything in particular you want to atone for regarding Denise?
Oh yeah, I don't like my behavior and how I treated her. I was mean and I was cruel and
this is why I like you.
I was like cruel. You. I was too cruel. I absolutely was, and I would like to atone for that. I was.
This is good. This is yum.
True. Like
okay.
It's true.
Give us more. Okay, Paul.
Andy, anything you've said behind Anderson's back this past year you want to confess to?
I don't think there's anything that I would say behind Anderson's back that I wouldn't say to his face. That I just because we tell each other everything's good. Yeah.
Lisa.
Yeah, so that's good. So it only took her a year and a half
to
admit that.
Yep.
And then Sarah Paulson, that's what I like about you. And I'm like, girl, it took her so long
and come
she's
to terms with that she needs to apologize.
She's a 57-year-old woman. Right. I mean, it was just so ridiculous. But then Andy put Sarah Paulson in the hot seat and gave her like 30 seconds to ask Lisa Rinna any burning questions about Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Sarah Paulson may think she hung up her Marsha Clark wig for good, but since she requested to be on with Lisa Rinna, I know she's foaming at the mouth to cross-examine the star witness sitting to her left. I'm putting 60 seconds on the clock. Rinna minute. Sarah, you can ask her anything you want. Go.
Is the clock starting now? Was there anybody during the reunion you went in thinking something and came out feeling differently?
Yes.
Oh, who?
Well,
okay, you don't have
leave
to
it. Leave it.
Leave it. What was the thing you were most frightened about, Amelia, being with Scott?
Everything. Okay. Everything.
Okay, but everything. It's over now.
It's over now.
Okay.
Good question.
Did you put any of the food from Garcelle's dinner into your napkin?
No.
You ate it all?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's a good question.
That's a really good question.
It looked delicious, but I too am a fish. These are not my. I've got 25 seconds.
Okay, go ahead.
Those were my three big questions, okay. And she did it really quickly.
How many apologies does Garcelle? How many thank yous does Garcelle have to give you for that sauce for you to be happy?
Just one more. You just need to text
just one
me
more.
Because Harry Hamlin asked me, "Did Garcelle like the sauce?" And I wanted to be able to say she did. She loved it.
Okay.
That's all.
All right.
Just make it for me.
Thank you very much. That was the winner.
That was just a hangover question from an old episode.
No, but that was last week. Lisa Rinna yelled at Garcelle because she didn't text her a thank you for the sauce. And Garcelle just looked at her and she said, "I thought when you handed it to me and I profusely thanked you, that was enough."
Okay, so here's a big question then. Okay, so
I don't want to get off on this, you know, right. Because we got to get off on Erica's next career, which could be a kindergartner teacher telling stories because when she
made up stories that no one's going to fact check.
She sat down with Kyle at whosever house they were at having hors d'oeuvres or whatever. I mean, in a certain way, last night's episode felt like an olden like a golden episode because we did spa, we had a little fashion thing, we had a nice party, you know.
No one was talking about all of Erica James' crap 24/7.
No, and then we had a hysterical scene with Piquet and Dorit and Maurizio and Kyle, and that was very funny. But Erica, you know, says to Kyle, "I've had a week. You know, I didn't tell you about when Tom's house was broken into and he confronted the burglar and then had to go have high air surgery. Then my son had to go help and then he rolled his car 5 times.
It was the longest. Grant, if you were to watch this, I taped
it. Erica's like, "What? What?" We're like, "What?"
It's like I would just tell you about today. I can't tell you about my day. My sons were both in the same accident in two different sides of the town and I had to have surgery, but we chose not to do it. And then my husband, he made up something and did this. I
no,
mean, it
this,
was just,
that's what she said.
I know. She's so naughty.
See,
Erica Jane, Housewives of Beverly Hills.
He confronted a burglar, then had to go have eye surgery. And then my son had to go help him. And then he rolled his car 5 times because it was snowing. And Kyle goes, "In Pasadena?" So everyone was Googling, "How much does it snow in Pasadena?" Right. Zero.
She just feels and Tom like she's had, making up stories.
And Tom had earlier, in, you know, a couple of weeks ago, she was like, "You know, I didn't tell you when Tom rolled his car and broke his shoulder and hurt his ankle. And then they called me, we have to do surgery." And I said, "I do the ankle." And I mean, it was
instead
just.
Instead of the brain. So anyway, at the dinner party, you've got Garcelle brain. And her, PK and Dorit and...
they're sharing the story with the husbands and the husbands are pokey. They're just like...
"What is this?"
Yeah, PK is like, "Well, I'm not a statistician, but what are the chances that your husband and your son would roll a car 5 or 6 times?
In the same day.
Well, not in the same day. It wasn't, but even just at all. I mean,
right.
You know, and then they were laughing hysterically that Erica said, "No, go ahead and operate on the ankle." But when he interrupted the burglar, they had to give him eye surgery because, you know, glaucoma. I'm just like, The memes and the comments on
all these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Twitter were absolutely hysterical because, and even Kyle herself in a confessional, she goes, well, the story is just so unbelievable. I mean, it's so unbelievable that I don't know how I can believe it, but it must be true. And we're just like, what, lady? What is going on? And if, how come TMZ, who knows everything about everything, how come they've never reported any of these things? I guess Tom's house, a burglar did break a window.
Okay.
But he wasn't home. And then Bravo, I mean, you know, she was making him sound like he was a would-be Power Ranger fighting off the robber. And it, that is true. There was an incident at his house.
But he wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
Okay, I love it.
And but TMZ never reports any of this stuff. And I just, like, it's so all over the place. These tall tales.
It's unbelievable. And the other thing that we found out is that, you know, Bethany Frankel, we just heard Holly say this at the top of the hour, she was dating that attorney that Tom Girardi, Erica's husband, owed money to. And it was very well known in legal circles that Tom was broke and owed money to a lot of people. We're talking 5 years ago, at least.
2017, she said on her podcast today, she said it was, how did she call it? Widely known, best kept secret. Kind of, you know, like it always is about anyone doing that. He was broke, and Tom Girardi owed Dennis $500,000. And it all started for her when she asked her boyfriend, Dennis, how does Erica afford $40,000 a month on glam and flying on private jets? And Dennis said to me, well, Tom doesn't have it like that. He owes me money. I know another guy who owes $1.5 million too. And he doesn't have the money. He owes everybody money. And I'm like, what are you talking about? How's she flying her own? And he said, it's because he's using people's money to support her lifestyle. He's using the company's money to support her. And I said, what are you talking about? And Bethany said, yeah, no, he owes me money and it aggravates everybody. And I said to Dennis, well, why would he do that? And he said, well, Tom can't say no to her. And when the news came out, Andy Cohen called Bethany and said, holy bleep, you really do know it all. You told me about this years ago.
Yes.
And she said, yeah, I've known since 2017 about this, that it's been a secret, or it's been an open secret. So anyway, it was a very hysterical, wonderful, great episode of Beverly Hills. It delivered on every account. But it's, I mean, Erica, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything because she had a lot of Bravo winks last night. That's a Mark Twain quote, by the way. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember that. I have a couple more things about what we know from the Beverly Hills housewife last night, real Beverly Hills housewife. Sutton Strack has been... She gets invited every year to the Met Gala.
I believe it. She's got money.
She does, and she sits on a lot of boards, and she posted a throwback the day of the Met Gala from 2011. I'm wearing my favorite American designer, and it was a beautiful red strapless dress, Monique Lhuillier.
Oh.
No one wore Monique Lhuillier.
I know.
A great fashion. I mean, really, yeah. There was a very surprising lack of American designers at the Met Gala. But another funny thing, besides the dinner scene with Piquet and Dorit and Maurizio and Kyle, where they're just laughing at this Cuckoo for Cocoa Puff stories that Erica had shared with Kyle. And Kyle's facial expressions were just brilliant. And she asked all the important questions. Why? What about Tom confronting the burglar and rolling the car and needing surgery, but between the brain and the head and or the brain and the ankle? I mean, just that scene was so funny.
It was very funny. I haven't laughed out loud on that show this year. I've gasped.
Yes.
That's the year has been spent gasping.
Yeah. And, you know, Erica is so brutally angry at Sutton, but yet hasn't expressed one bit of anger at her husband.
Right.
For putting her in this position.
Right.
Let's say she doesn't know anything, that she didn't know anything, that she was, you know, let's just say that we believe all of that. Why wouldn't you be furious
with your husband for putting you in this position?
And why are you furious with Sutton for just saying, hey, wait a second, what's going on here? I don't want any of this to blow back on me.
Mm-hmm.
And Erica has got so defensive about that. And then, you know, you don't have a glam squad working for you anymore when she just literally went to the wedding party with the extension ring of a hair extension, complete with the ring and then the long fold of hair just clipped to the back. They tried to make it look like it was there, like someone came up with that idea, but that's called having no money to play the glam squad.
She still has an assistant though. She was shopping today at TJ Maxx, trying to get a doggy gate, and she still is traveling around with her assistant.
Well, I mean, you know, she is getting paid for the Real Housewives. I'm just saying though, I was like, oh my God, I'm pretty sure that's a clip of a hair extension.
It was hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she did share, someone tweeted her last night, Team Erica, but only to her face. And then she included pictures of Kyle laughing. Dorit was laughing so hard she was crying. Maurizio was just out loud laughing. And she wrote, felt great watching this, sad face emoji. And I'm just like, oh, I guess you do give some Fs, Erica.
Yeah.
You know? Two.
Yep.
So anyway, yeah, that was just a priceless episode last night.
This year is
epic.
With all the bad
epic
things going on, these housewife shows, their ratings must be through the roof at Bravo.
Well, you know, the thing is, Erica gives enough detail to make something sound sufficiently dramatic, and she lowers her voice, but she doesn't give enough to construct the timeline, like a beginning, a middle, and an end, you know, the things that a story makes sense. That's called crazy making. I was married to a person like that who talked like that in kind of circles. And it's called crazy making. And she's starting, you know, Garcelle noticed a party. She says, you know, how come we find out all these things after months afterwards? And then she acts like she's been holding them this big burden. Like, why doesn't she tell us ahead of time? And then the Bravo editors are including things like, you know, they added a clip from Lake Tahoe with Erica saying how much she loves that Tom lets her be by herself, be herself, unequivocally herself, and sports everything she does, followed by a 3 days later title card when all the women learn that she's filed for divorce.
Right.
So they are winking good. Deep down, those ladies don't believe the things that Erica tells them, even if they insist over and over that they believe her and she's not a liar. And none of this makes sense. The stories are just like all over the place, you know?
That's what I think makes it more fun this year.
I mean, maybe because it's just, I don't know. You know, and you know you got money when you're talking about making $1 million basement for a golf swing.
Okay, this is, all right, Grant.
Jeez Louise. Grant,
one of the housewives is married to the film director from...
Producer
of Lion King and all these other things.
Yeah.
Okay. They have more money than, and I feel like she came from money even.
No.
She didn't?
No, in her backstory, I don't think so.
So
Kathy Hilton is the richest housewife.
So they're redoing their basement and her husband's a golfer, but because he's so tall, because they're putting in a, you know, when
simulator,
you go,
one of those golf simulators.
Yes.
Yeah. At minimum, those things are about 45 grand for the basic cheapest one you can find.
But good. But so because her husband is so tall they have to redig the basement to make it be deeper so her husband can hit
full
the golf.
Swing.
I know. But did you choke when she said at first they told me it was going to be $1 million, but I'm economical and I got it down to 500,000. And Kyle just looked at her. She goes, you're going to what? No, don't do that. Make him duck.
Make him duck.
Oh, yeah. Seriously, I was just like,
get some shorter clubs.
Wow. Oh. Exactly. Get the Duke. We had, like, growing up at Dad's house, we had a brick wall so close to one side of our pool table. So we had the club called the Duke, and it was a mini.
Oh, mini stick, yeah.
And my dad, my grandfather's name is Duke. My dad's dad was Duke.
Yeah.
And so we called this mini stick the Duke.
Nice.
And it was just a short little stick.
Yeah, stick I've seen those.
That we'd use on that one side, yeah, because you couldn't ever make a pool
couldn't
shot.
Couldn't angle it at the
you
right way.
You couldn't angle it. You'd have to just hit it at the top of the thing. So we just used the Duke.
The Duke. Yeah. That's awesome. That's a big difference. The Duke versus 500,000.
Right.
Big difference.
Right.
Yeah.
Serious.
I mean, Kyle was, you know, and she's got some money, you know, but she's like, what? Her eyes were, she had the best facial expressions last night.
She was funny last
night. I'd say, although she is a little pot stirrer.
We all have those in our life.
Yeah. But she's a consistent Beverly Hills pot stirrer. Yes. She says stuff in the confessional that she never says out loud to any of the other women, and then she'll
get
mad.
That's why it's called the confessional.
Yeah, I know, but then she gets mad at the other woman if they, you know, then she brings it up.
Be honest.
Be honest.
Just be honest. When someone tells you that nonstop, be honest.
It's like, you go first.
Right.
Yeah, you go first.
Tell us your honest story, and then I'm going to
first.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to do my own interpretation of honesty.
Exactly. Okay, so we got a little scoop if anyone's interested. Grant, I haven't watched Bachelor in Paradise like
you
in the last couple weeks.
Oh.
I've just been reading the recaps. Okay. I just have had no time.
Yeah, that's how I got with Love Island at some point in time. Oh. I just had to read the recaps because it's just it's a lot of time to dedicate. Yeah,
but there is, you know, The Bachelorette, the one with Michelle Young
from Minnesota.
Yeah, that will premiere on ABC on October 19th.
And all of her bachelors are up online. I saw them the other day, the 30 men.
Yes.
She's got some really good looking guys in her bunch.
Here's what a source told Page Six.
Okay.
That all the guys on Michelle Young's season impressed everybody on the set. And it was definitely a big upgrade from any of Katie's guys.
Oh,
okay.
Because usually how they find the bachelor is from a bachelorette, and they take one of the guys that stands out that wasn't chosen to be the next bachelor. And same thing with the bachelorette.
Right.
But because the dogs at the end of Katie's season were
so bad.
So bad, they had to go back to the
drawing
board.
They looked at that Greg guy, but he was such a gaslighter when he broke up with her.
That guy. Oh, yeah. I forgot about
he
him.
He missed out on everything.
So they said no to him. And then this other dude, Spencer, I can't remember which guy he was, but apparently he had a long, lovely, offensive Twitter history and Instagram social media. So they ruled him out. And so they're saying ABC is not confirming this, but a guy by the name of Clayton Eckerd, who is on Michelle's season and obviously isn't picked, is going to be the next bachelor.
Okay, but here's what I have a thought about saying this is I have a hard time knowing this already, and the season hasn't even started. But
Julia, here's the thing. With 30 guys, you don't know anybody's flipping names.
No.
She's going to send home 5 or 6 guys the first night. He could be in that group.
I hope she finds someone great.
It makes no difference because it's 30 names. Okay, right. You've just started to learn some of the housewives' names after years and years of watching, okay?
That's true.
I still don't know them.
We don't know who the names are.
I'm excited for her to be. I think people will watch this one more than Katie.
Yes.
I think Michelle feels real.
Yeah.
And I'm excited, but not till October 19th.
Yeah. So usually we get The Bachelor. It starts in the middle of September.
Right.
Everything kind of pushed back with COVID. And I guess this Clayton dude is a former tight end for the Seattle Seahawks. I always thought that would be the sexiest football position besides quarterback. I'm a tight end just because it's so great to say.
So
and you can, I'm a tight end.
Or they all have tight ends.
Check.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what a tight end does.
Of course, you don't.
I love
it's an offensive player.
Okay.
Nice job, Julia. There you go.
I know football.
She knows what it is.
No, I know.
I mean, is there a back end?
No.
No, but there's backs.
There's D-backs. Yeah, yeah, defensive backs, but no.
So anyway, I just...
There's not a front end.
Yeah, I just...
a loose end.
See, a tight end is a great football title.
And they're usually tall, handsome, and very, very, very well built. Let's just put it that way.
Yes.
Tight ends are the most...
I looked at Clayton, he's rippling with at least a 10-pack.
And a little D-energy too, maybe?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they ruled out this other KDX called the... Michael Alilio or something like that. So he had some problems. So they had to dip into Michelle's.
What blows me away is these are people, you know, in their 20s. Okay.
They're late 20s, early 30s.
Okay. But you know what? My kids are that age. You know, I've got kids in the mid-20s.
Are they interested? Because the Bachelor is looking for people interested. Let's put one of your kids
Wouldn't
in.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Let's put Thing 2. Let's have
Thing
him apply.
He'd be cast. He would be great.
He would be cast. Don't go giving us ideas. Let's do this, Julia.
I think Thing 2 would be good. But the thing about my kids is they knew from the beginning of time not to post one thing.
Yes.
Offensive.
Love it.
That was like... I don't know why these people are
still... Yeah, but I think you talked to them about that,
Julia.
Good
on you for doing that, exactly.
You talked to them about that.
I said, all this, you will never go away. You will never win.
Yeah.
Stop. You know, don't ever even think of it.
Right.
I'm glad that just, none of that wasn't around when I was a kid.
Right.
Not that I would have said anything stupid, but it's just, it was no temptation. Right.
Exactly.
All right, listen, we come back. We have to tell you guys some, if you got tickets to Elton John, you're not going to like what we have to tell you. There's a little Elton John and Dua Lipa with a hit single, Cold Heart, and such a good song. Anyway, Elton John is letting everyone know it is with great sadness and a heavy heart. He is forcing the reschedule of the 2021 dates of the Farewell Yellow Brick Road tour in Europe and the UK.
To 2023. Which means it's going to post. I don't know if it'll push it back here because he's supposed to come here in February or something.
Yeah, next spring.
Yeah,
so
not going to happen probably.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll see. But he went on to explain at the end of his summer break, he fell awkwardly in a hard surface, and he's been in pain and discomfort in his hip, and it's getting worse. He can't move, and he's going to complete his. Remember this name, Global Citizen event on September 25th, as he doesn't want to let the charity down. It's just 5 songs.
Okay.
And he does hope to be on the road in January of 2022 to New Orleans. So I guess he was doing Europe this fall.
Right. Okay.
So it sounds like he's really...
I'll just postpone Europe till next fall.
It's 2023. He's already postponed it to 2023.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's hoping to be on the U.S. tour. And it's funny, the Global Citizen. So if you remember, Global Citizen had the reality show. They were partnering up with CBS, the activists.
Yes.
Here's what Roger Friedman has to say about Global Citizen, the charity. Okay. Readers of this column know I've been telling you about phony baloney Global Citizen for years. They do nothing for poverty or hunger, help no one except themselves. They're a nonprofit with big salaries and expenses. All their money is spent producing rock concerts with musicians who want exposure and some PR that they are doing good. Elton John has a new album of collaborations
coming out.
And he just says they're a bunch of BS. And then he said, and other people have reported that the activists, people were so upset about it. And there was one of the women that was one of the activists went on Instagram to share her experience of working with these dudes.
Oh, dear.
And it was so bad and so tone deaf the way they're handling it. This show is now just going to be a documentary.
That to me, when I saw this today, I thought, oh gosh, because yesterday we had so-and-so apologizing.
Julianne Hough, one of the judges.
She's one of the judges on this for, she was going to listen deeper.
Deeply listening. She was deeply listening to the comments. Anyway, this gal, this Clover Hogan, a 22-year-old activist, last weekend posted a long thread on Twitter about Global Citizen. And she said, I was approached to appear on the show. I was contacted by someone looking for passionate activists who are actively engaged in making an impact with the environment, health education, reducing world hunger. I took a call with them. Grant kind of goes on and on. And then at the very end, when she was like really, really interested in doing it, the guy revealed that this would be a competition show with activists going against each other for resources. I remember thinking I was in a Black Mirror episode. When the call ended, I cried and called my mom. The whole time I was made to feel if I was failing a test. So she's become the whistleblower.
Okay, can I be this. A whistleblower?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever, all the
no
morning.
Word on Usher, Julianne Hough, and Priyanka. I think they just might be cut out.
Yeah. Okay.
Completely. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I want to, you know, we're in a state of global warming and where, you know, the fires.
We're in a world of global warming.
Okay. We're in a world of it. And then we have these billionaires wanting to send people up to space every week. How many emissions go every time that little sucker goes up? Because today they went up without astronauts.
Julia, I threw a pillow at the TV when all three morning shows reported about the citizens going into Mars, and the one guy dead face said to GMA, we're hoping in a few years we're going to be able to send people to Mars, 100 people a week, 100 people a day to Mars. And I'm like, it takes 4 years to get to Mars.
But I just think of...
And what are you going to do?
I am going crazy.
When you're there. I'm going crazy, too.
But I just keep thinking of...
Save the planet we live on.
I know.
Oh, it's such a waste of money.
I just kind of went like nutty thinking...
So did I. Casey just said, he goes, yeah. He goes, wow, you know, you okay over there?
Right.
I said, I'm sick of these space
stories. Our family
stories.
Lives in Montana. Okay, so for some reason, I mean, summers used to be smoke would roll into Montana from the fires in the West and in Canada in August. This year it started at the end of June. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I'm talking to my sister and I'm on a walk and she's on a walk and she goes, oh my gosh, I just walked through a cloud of cigar smoke. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Why? No one smokes cigars in Montana. And then she turns.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
Well, I know, but not like on a hiking trail. She's on a hiking trail.
Right.
With her dog. And so she's just said, she turned a corner and she felt like she was just in a cigarette-filled smoke room because the smoke had come in so quickly. I mean, it really is nutty what's going on there. With all, and no. We experienced it here this summer.
Yes, of course. No, I
it just,
agree.
When they put that thing and it was everywhere and they kept covering it and covering it and covering it, I'm like, who cares?
I was bored.
Go to a simulator and have G-forces.
Yeah.
Just build those at malls.
Yeah.
You know,
used to have them. There used to be a thing at the carnivals and it would be that one where it would spin
in a circle
and you'd slide up and slide down
based on how fast
you
were going.
Not the roundup. No. It was a spinning.
It looked like a spaceship and you would get in there and you'd lay along the edge and as it would get faster and faster.
You could move, but you could not roll upside down off the wall.
Yeah.
Right. So do something like that. Yeah,
do something good.
I'd rather play with something that's built by space engineers than something that's built by carnies.
Okay, so Drew, people are going crazy over Nine Perfect Strangers and not in a good way because they...
Something happened last night?
Well, no, it's just that this
Masha?
Show...
Masha.
This Masha.
Masha.
Not Marsha. Masha. Nicole Kidman.
That's how you say her name,
if
Masha.
If you remember from the book, and it's so crazy.
How do we remember the book?
We remember that it was our least favorite Leanne Moriarty novel. It was hard to follow.
Yes.
The book, because it was all these stories.
Yes.
But the book came together at the end.
In a wonderful way.
The last two pages. Yeah. But I don't know if it was a wonderful way because I can't remember.
You're right. I don't know if it was wonderful, but it came together and it redeemed itself.
I'm just saying to people who are watching Nine Perfect Strangers, I think the experience might be like the book. It's hard to follow. It seems kind of kooky. It doesn't seem to make sense. And I don't even know how strictly they're adhering to the book.
Good point.
But it's David E. Kelly working on a Leanne Moriarty, and I can't remember if she's a producer of this or not. I think she might be. So I would think they're staying, you know, they might be taking a few licenses.
Masha. Ugh. What are they saying about it?
Just that they feel like the story is changing around and everything is moving around. But I do remember that from the book.
It was so... all over the place.
Yeah, and we were kind of like, oh, this was not our favorite.
By the way, her new book is coming out this week.
Is it? Are we going to talk to her?
No.
You couldn't get her because of the time?
I quit trying.
You did?
I quit that job, by the way, in case anyone wants to know.
She did.
Yeah. What's
I still
on?
Have a post-it note. I just don't want to do the... Yeah.
Ask Grant to try and lock it down.
There we go.
She loves us.
Yeah, I know.
We'll lay it down in the meeting next week, right?
All right, there we go. Anyway, so that's just the 411 on Nine Perfect Strangers. Maybe just stick with it. You